A Little Public Hanging. As a child, Orso had delighted in the sound of distant crowds. Crowds meant spectacles, festivals, excitement, the thrill of the summer contest, the pomp of a parade. As a young man, he had begun to find that noise tiresome. Crowds meant functions, rituals, responsibilities, the disappointment of grand banquets, the tedium of state visits. Now the sound of a crowd filled him with horror. In the new union, crowds meant riots, terror, random violence, the baying of the mob. Lost in the anonymity of a crowd, people would commit horrors that would have sickened them alone, that no doubt sickened them afterwards, but their regret was scant consolation for the victims.
"What's going on, Hildy?" he murmured.
"Don't know." And Hildy bit her lip, as if steeling herself for bad news. She always looked that way these days. As soon as they stepped out into the square of marshals, the nature of the occasion became clear.
"Oh, damn," said Orso, his shoulders slumping. "I bloody hate hangings."
It was a new kind of gallows. Progress, he supposed. Instead of a cross beam with ropes, five tall spars stuck up at an angle behind the platform like the fingers of a clawing hand. There were pulleys at the tips, a counterweight of iron plates behind each one. Instead of rope, steel cables had been looped into five nooses. Orso noticed, as he was herded by his guards towards an enclosure where, as usual, he could be made an exhibit for the curious, that there was a life-size dummy hanging from one of them. Chairman Risenow sat at the very front of the crowd, Judge on one side, Pike on the other, the leaders of the great change. That bloody writer Swarbrick was leaning towards them, waving up at the towering gallows.
"The trouble with the previous system was that the bodies fell beneath the trap door. Justice was done, but justice was not seen to be done. Now, with a counterweight released..."
He gave a showman's flourish. Nothing happened.
"Go on, then."
There was a clatter of machinery, weights dropped, cable whizzed, and the dummy was jerked up by the neck to flop about in the wind some five strides above the platform. The crowd gasped, then began to applaud, to cheer, to hurl good-natured abuse. A carnival atmosphere. Orso winced and tried to loosen his collar with a finger.
"Ingenious!"
Risenow nodded sagely, as though at a demonstration of a machine to peel fruit. He might not have been much of an administrator, but he knew the power of a good show.
"You should be immensely proud. A happy combination of my flair for theatre and Citizen Kernbrick's technical know-how."
And Swarbrick put an arm around the great machinist and gave him a friendly squeeze. Kernsbrick, who had abandoned his spectacular waistcoats and was now modelling the inconspicuous tones of mud, looked more than a little nauseous.
"Ain't it a bit bloodless?"
said Judge with her usual deadly sneer. Risenow rolled his eyes.
"I do declare, Citizeness Judge, you would see the condemned torn apart by wild dogs if you thought it could be managed."
She sat back, rubbing thoughtfully at her rashy throat, as if weighing up the benefits of public execution by canines.
"Let's see how this works first. Bring out the prisoners."
"Oh no," muttered Orso. Lord Chamberlain Hoff came first. Orso remembered him ushering portraits of potential brides into his mother's salon in tedious procession. What happy times those seemed now. Lord Chancellor Gorodets was next, then High Consul Matstringer, then the Surveyor General. By the fates, he'd been kept away from the closed council by his bladder so often that Orso couldn't remember the man's name. Lord Marshal Ruxted brought up the rear, walking with a pronounced limp. It looked as if half his moustache had been torn out. Chains clanked as they were led up onto the platform into the shadows of those five tall beams. the great lords of the closed council, the men who had ruled the Union in Orso's name. They made a sorry sight now, in sackcloth rather than fur and braid, in fetters rather than chains of office, their grey hair and beards in greasy tangles.
"Fellow citizens,"
Rizinow never missed a chance to address a crowd,
"we are gathered to see five enemies of the people receive their just deserts, to see righteous retribution on behalf of the Union's oppressed, to wave farewell to the age of tyranny."
He spread his arms wide.
"And to welcome the age of equality with open arms."
Cheers, boos, laughter, a few bits of rubbish flung at the scaffold as nooses were tightened around necks. The great change had made little difference to the behaviour of the mob at an execution. A rotten orange spattered against the side of Gorodet's head.
"We've danced for their benefit for the last few centuries," screeched Judge, twisting to face the crowd. "Now they can dance for ours."
Orso had never harboured much affection for his closed council. He had thought of its members as a man thinks of his creditors, his landlords, his jailers. But seeing them like this, he had to hold back tears. Hoff shuffled forwards as far as the cable would allow, which was not far.
"Your Majesty,"
he cried over the noise,
"I'm sorry."
"It's me who should be sorry,"
Orso rounded on Judge, Rizinow and Pike.
"Please, what crime are they accused of?" "Corruption, profiteering and exploitation," said Rizinow. "Treason against the people of the Union," hissed Judge. "Is there evidence?" asked Orso.
Judge glared back at him.
"They sat on the closed council. What more evidence do you need?" "Were they allowed a defence?" "They sat on the closed council. What defence could there be?"
"We sat there too, Your Majesty," said Pike softly. "You know each man of them was a willing cog in the monstrous machine, a callous accomplice in the purges and injustice. Can you truly pretend that these are better men than the ones they ordered hanged outside Velbek?"
Orso swallowed. "The ones you ordered hanged?"
"A better world comes with a bill to pay. We all must make sacrifices. And look around you." Pike calmly scanned the baying crowd. "The people have given their verdict."
"Get on and hang the bastards!"
someone roared, and other voices joined him. Plainly, there was no appetite for clemency. When was there ever?
"Whatever they did in my name,"
said Orso, his voice cracking.
"At least put me up there with them."
"All in good time, Your Majesty," he heard Judge murmur. Rizinow held up a hand to quiet her, his hard little eyes fixed on Orso.
"If the king cannot remain silent while the people's justice is administered, he will have to be restrained. Captain Broad?"
A monster of a man stepped up to the royal enclosure, the royal pig pen, a neckless bull made to look even more savage by a pair of wire-framed eye lenses perched on the flat bridge of his nose. He planted one great hand on the rail before Orso, a tattoo on the back. An axe and a bolt of lightning with stars on the scarred knuckles. Hildy took a step towards him, bunching her fists like a kitten raising its hackles at a bear. The big man just gave her a sad smile and took off those little lenses to show tired, weak eyes.
"It's a brave show, Your Majesty."
No threat in his soft voice, just a weary pragmatism, and he breathed ever so gently on his lenses and gave them a wipe with his cuff.
"But it'll do no good. You don't want to get hurt, and I damn sure don't want to hurt you."
He perched them back in their place and raised his brows at Orso.
Things are bad enough. Why make them worse?
He was right. Thousands of people had crammed into the square of marshals to see these men hang. Orso was powerless, more so than ever. He let Hildi drag him back into his chair and sat mute, hands limp in his lap. Lord Hoff noisily cleared his throat.
If I might say a few words before...
No!
And Judge snapped her fingers. A clank from beneath the platform. With a whirring of gears, the counterweight dropped and Hoff was snatched up just like the dummy. He bounced wildly at the top, his head caught the beam, and he flopped, swinging, blood bubbling down his face, his neck grotesquely stretched. Orso clung to the rail of his enclosure, his white hands either side of Broad's. Judge snapped her fingers again. Goridetz gave a whoop as he was whisked into the air. Pike watched his one-time colleague dangle, emotionless, eyes glittering.
Wait!
Matt Stringer left one shoe behind as he was plucked from the platform by the throat. The Surveyor General squeezed his eyes shut, then his counterweight dropped and he was flung up too. Hoff swung, his distended neck turning black. The Surveyor General did not appear to have been killed instantly. He was still kicking. Perhaps just some nervous impulse. Orso hoped so. Something ran from the leg of his sackcloth trousers and spattered to the platform below. Kurnsbeck put his head in his hands. Ruxted bared his teeth.
Fuck the lot of you!
Snap. The last counterweight dropped. Ruxted flew up, but something must have gone wrong with the mechanism. Instead of being left hanging high, the noose was jerked all the way into the pulley. His head flew off one way, his body dropped the other, crashing onto the platform, showering blood.
Ha!
Screeched Judge, leaping to her feet in delight. The crowd gave an almighty roar of approval. A woman danced, pulling off her apron to wave it over her head like a flag.
Oh,
said Hildi in a high little voice. Because she was so clever and so tough, Orso forgot sometimes how young she was. He wanted to put his hand over her eyes. He wanted to put his hand over his own. But it was far too late. He had sat horrified through those meetings in the White Chamber, where, beneath the blandly monstrous oversight of the First of the Magi, principles were squashed beneath profits, corruption was raised to an art form, and justice was reduced to a jelly. He had known it was wrong, but he had thrown up his hands and told himself it was the way things were, the way things had to be. He had failed to protect his people from his counselors. Now he had failed to protect his counselors from his people.
I have failed at everything, he whispered.
The four corpses hung limp. Goridetz dangled a little lower than the others for some reason, twisting slowly one way, then the other. The crowd had turned quiet. Towards the back, people were already drifting away. There was a sense of disappointment. Perhaps they had discovered that when enemies fall, they leave a hole. No doubt they would find new ones to fill it with soon enough.
Well, Rizinow stood, hands on his paunch. I, for one, am glad to have that behind us. Now we can focus on putting things right.
Behind us?
Judge growled as she glared up at the dangling bodies.
We've barely begun.
Orso closed his eyes. He realized that somewhere deep inside, he had been supposing this was all temporary, a passing fad. A nightmare from which they would all soon wake. But perhaps this was simply how the world was now. Perhaps this was how it had always been.